This is Talking.Golf on Wisconsin.Golf. Talking.Golf is a weekly podcast featuring Gary D'Amato and Rob Hernandez. And now, here's Gary and Rob. Talking.Golf is sponsored by the Club at Lac La Belle, which recently celebrated its grand opening of its all-new golf course. The rebirth of this historic course is now available for both members and non-members and located conveniently between Milwaukee and Madison in the beautiful rolling hills of Oconomowoc. See what all of the talk is about with this remake of one of the oldest courses in the state and test your game with the native fescue grasses, undulating greens, and Scottish roots. That's right. Book your tee time today at club@laclabelle.com. Rob Hernandez, Gary D'Amato with you here, Talking.Golf, a special Sunday recording as both Gary and I get ready to monitor the Wisconsin State Amateur. Gary will be feet on the ground at Milwaukee Country Club, and I'll be refresh with the live scoring. And you can follow both of us on Twitter throughout the day. Jim Kelsch will be along with the photography from beautiful Milwaukee Country Club. Gary, we've been waiting for this a long time. When this was announced and in the build-up last winter, when we were writing stories about state amateur coming to Milwaukee Country Club here in a very, what was supposed to be a very historic year for golf in Wisconsin, it's now historic for a different reason, but we've still got the state am at Milwaukee Country Club, and I'm excited for it to get here.
Boy, you and me both, Rob. I can't wait. One of the highlights of the summer for me, covering our state amateur, I think I've done about probably 25 of them over the years. I know you've done that many, if not more. So between us, we've seen a lot of good players come through and a lot of great rounds of golf. I'm really looking forward to getting started tomorrow morning, Rob.
Before we talk about Milwaukee Country Club, you bring up a good point. I was actually thinking about that the other day. My first state amateur was at Maple Bluff Country Club in 1987. Our boss, John Hughes, had just left the State Journal and started the Wisconsin Golf Magazine. And so I was tasked with covering a state amateur. And that year it was Skip Kendall dueling a guy named Mike Taylor down the stretch at Maple Bluff. And all I can remember was it was hot, it was muggy. I remember Brian Brodell, Bill Brodell's son, playing in his first state amateur at age 15, I believe it was, maybe 16. And everybody has a story, and there'll be stories in this year's state amateur about their first state amateur and whether you're covering it, but certainly when you're playing in it. And there's a number of competitors this week that will probably have the honor of saying, this is my first state am, and it's at Milwaukee Country Club. That's a pretty proud thing to be able to say.
No kidding. I mean, this is, you know, as much as we've looked forward to the state am, think of the players who get to tee it up at Milwaukee Country Club. You know, a historic Harry Colt, Allison course. Bill Linneman put it perfectly, I thought, when I talked to Billy a few days ago. He said, there's just something magical about the place. And there is. You walk on those grounds, you drive it through the drive and get out of your car. And it's one of those places where you know you're somewhere special, and you might not be able to put your finger on why, but you just kind of feel it in the air. And that definitely is Milwaukee Country Club.
It's got a unique history in regards to the state amateur. The last time it was held there was 1995. Bob Gregorski took advantage of some misfortune on the part of John Palin down the stretch to win that one. But I went back, and I believe it was 1971. It was the first year of stroke play. It was at Milwaukee Country Club. And then I was trying to research, you know, if anybody in the field this year was still around to have played in that one. You know, it's interesting, some of the names that jump off the page. I believe Jerry Kelly's dad, Jack Kelly, played in that very first stroke play state amateur at Milwaukee Country Club. And then I noticed, and then I saw in the archives that I have from the State Journal days, Glenn Miller, the legendary sports editor, was down there. And he had the scores, and then he had junior scores. And I'm trying to figure out what the heck junior scores were, because he didn't write much about that. And then I was reaching out to Mike Murphy, who's a 64-year-old veteran amateur golfer from the Madison area. Fitchburg, Wisconsin now is where he lives. And he'll be in the field this year. He was one of three guys who made the cut in 95. But he was also at Milwaukee Country Club for the final two rounds back in 71, Gary, because back then the state junior spent two rounds with their big field at an adjacent course down the road. In that case, it was North Hills and Menominee Falls. And then those who made the cut there got the pleasure, the honor of playing the final two rounds at Milwaukee Country Club. And back then, Mike told me he was a 15-year-old who got to play. There was a limited number of 16 and unders that got to go on to Milwaukee Country Club. So he was actually on the grounds for the first one, and now he's back again all these years later. He played in his first state amateur a few years later in 73 at Kenosha Country Club. But it's just amazing, the history of this tournament, how it's evolved. You know, before that, it was a match play format that determined the state amateur champion. Then it became stroke play. But Milwaukee Country Club, the few times that it's been there, Gary, has always moved the needle in this tournament. And I think you're probably best positioned to tell us why. You've been at Milwaukee Country Club, you know, as much as anybody has for various events. What makes the place so special?
You know, like I said, Rob, it's just a feeling you get when you're there. It's, you know, first of all, that the old clubhouse with the fantastic locker room and men's lounge. Not too many people get to go in there and look around, and the players who get to use the locker room this week are in for a treat. It's one of the great locker rooms in America, in American clubhouses. And then, you know, the course is perfectly conditioned, not a blade of grass out of place. And it's a very strategic golf course, and Bill Linneman is going to set it up, and we'll talk about this maybe a little bit later, but it's going to be an interesting setup, especially in the third round. But it's par 70, but it's going to be 6,900 to 7,000 yards, so it's going to play very long. But it's just it's a thinking person's golf course. You're rewarded for good shots. You're punished for bad shots, and it just has that air of you feel the history there. It hasn't hosted a lot of stuff, but it's hosted some USJ events, most recently, I believe, a mid-am. And you just know you're someplace special. It's one of those, it's hard to put your finger on it, Rob.
You're right. I think it's like, I've only been there for the 95 State Am, but it was like going then to Medina and covering the US Opens there. That clubhouse, you know, just kind of exudes respect. It exudes history. And you're right, the players will be in for a treat. As we talk about the players, Gary, we start with former champions in the field. The last couple not in because, unfortunately, the state amateur goes up against the Western amateur this week. So both Harrison Ott, Hunter Eichhorn, last couple champions, and then Pearson Hunt, who many thought was is kind of the next can't miss to win a state amateur. They'll be competing in that event, but Matt Tolan out of Eau Claire, the University of South Dakota golfer, former Marquette golfer Nick Nelson, former Badger golfer Eddie Wada coming back to play, Mike McDonald out of West Bend, Travis Meyer out of River Falls, and two-time champion Pat Boyle, the former champions in the field. Again, it's a hard tournament to win. It's a hard tournament to win twice. Pat Boyle, you know, deserves a lot of credit for doing that. And but as we look at the Matt Tolan's been playing some great golf. Nick Nelson played some really great golf down at the Fisher for a while. So I wouldn't count him out, even though he's Mr. Law School now. What do you look at as far as maybe some of the past champions, their chances, and what kind of golfer are we looking at that's going to be favored here at Milwaukee Country Club?
Well, you know, one of the names you just mentioned, Matt Tolan. Boy, he has been playing really good golf. He's a former champion. He knows how to win this event. He tied for second last year when Hunter Eichhorn won. And then he, you know, had a really good chance to win the Ray Fisher last month and, you know, had some unfortunate luck on the last hole and bad luck, I should say, you know, and Joe Weber wound up winning the Ray Fisher. But Matt led for a good portion of it and was right there at the end and finished second, tied for second in the Fisher. So he's had a couple of runner-up finishes in big championships, and he's got a victory in a big championship. So he's playing good golf. I would definitely look for him to be in the mix. The other guys, Nick Nelson shot a 63 at the Fisher. So he can get it going. And like you said, even though he's an associate now in a law firm, I think he's passed the bar, I'm pretty sure. But but some of these guys have jobs now, and it's a little tougher when you have a job. But they all have won the championship, the guys you mentioned, so they know how to win it. So if they get in position, any one of those guys, look out. I think they could hang around till the end.
And as we build out the field, obviously we start with the past champions. They're exempt for life. And then we go to the top 25 in ties from last year's state amateur. And some names that are exempt from having to head qualified this year that were in automatically. Philip Johnson out of Colgate, former University of Dayton Flyer, Sam Anderson out of Stoughton, the current Wisconsin Badger. A name that really kind of, to me, Gary, is the one that he's had a chance to win this before and might have an opportunity this week with the way he's playing is Thomas Longbella out of Chippewa Falls. He's just finished his first round at his senior season up at Minnesota. He's going back for another year because of the COVID eligibility extension. That's a guy that kind of jumps off the page as being one that we could see in the mix here from start to finish.
Absolutely. Thomas, you asked what kind of player could win the state amateur at Milwaukee Country Club, and I think Thomas Longbella is one of those guys who could. I don't think he makes a lot of mistakes. He definitely hits it long enough. I think length is going to be a factor, as it always is. And some of those guys, you know, really pound the ball. But I think it takes a complete player. I think Milwaukee Country Club is kind of a second shot course. So I would look for a good iron player, Rob, who has control over especially his distance, to put in the right spot on the greens, because you can make birdies at Milwaukee Country Club, but you can also make doubles in a hurry if you get on the wrong side of some of these pins.
Let me throw a few more names your way, Gary. Pete Cool, former Badger, also finished in the top 25 in ties last year up at the golf club at Lasonia. He just recently completed his eligibility at UW. Jacob Beckman out of Middleton, who will be a Badger next year, class of 2021. And then Tyler Leach, Marquette golfer out of Spring Valley. He just got done playing the Sonny Hama Amateur out in Pennsylvania, along with Hunter Eichhorn. Neither one made the 54-hole cut, but Tyler Leach always a contender. And then you've got Cameron Huss, an incoming freshman from Wisconsin. Again, another guy leaving the college ranks. Matthew Bachman out of Sheboygan Falls had a good tournament last year. Nate Thompson, who's been at a few colleges, currently at Toledo. Drake Wilcox headed off to Queen's University in North Carolina. Out of Sheboygan Falls, actually out of Sheboygan Lutheran High School, Sheboygan, Wisconsin, a kid that has played well at times. May not be the right time for him to break through, but the fact that he's in as a top 25 in ties from a year ago, Gary, tells you that the young kids today play classic courses better because he had to do what he did to get to Milwaukee Country Club at the Lynx course of Lasonia. Another kid who's on that list is Jamazi Skinador out of De Pere. Jamazi does not want to go on to play college golf, and he's going to try to figure out a way to get to the professional ranks without going to college. And, Milwaukee Country Club is a great test for a kid like that to see exactly what deficiencies there are in the game. If you can handle that right at that age, Gary, you certainly physically are at the prime of your career to be able to, to win tournaments like this. You just have to have the mind to do it.
Yeah, and, you know, I was thinking as you were ticking off those names, Rob, the thing they have in common is that they all were about 22 years old or younger. It's definitely become more of a young man's game. And I was talking to Bob Gregorski about this, who unfortunately had a two-time champion who won last time it was played at Milwaukee Country Club in 1995. Bob unfortunately had a withdrawal. He suffered a Lisfranc break in his foot, Rob, which is you hear that in the NFL. That's like a career-ending injury for NFL guys. And Bob told me he did that in May. He hasn't been able to – it's been non-weight-bearing, and he tried to hit balls in a boot, and he said, you know, if I could take a cart, maybe I'd try it. But anyway, one thing Bob told me that I think is very true is he said, back when I won it 25 years ago, you'd stand on the range and look up and down the range and see 40 different golf swings. And he said, today, you stand on the range and you see almost the same golf swing. All these kids swing it the same way. They've all had great instruction. Right. They've got the best equipment. And their swings, you know, sort of look alike quite a bit. So, all those young guys you named, any one of them could pop out and have a really good Wisconsin State amateur here.
Two others off the top 25s and ties from last year, Gary, that I think might be heard from this week. Garrett Jones, former Badger out of Madison, spent some time on the mini tours, didn't spend much time on it, got his amateur standing back, and has played some pretty solid golf, has been in position to win tournaments, but really hasn't sealed the deal. And then Emmett Herb, who's going back for a fifth year up at St. Thomas. He's going to be out of there before St. Thomas makes the jump from Division III to Division I in the fall of 2021. But Emmett's been a Division III All-American Player of the Year candidate this past year. And he was in contention a couple years ago, Gary, down the stretch up at North Shore in Menasha, which, again, is another historic old course on the shores of Lake Winnebago. And the fact that you know, Emmett was able to hang into there for 72 holes. Again, that would have been, you know, probably pre 20 years old. It speaks a lot for him. And, you know, on the right day, Emmett Herb can take it pretty low. I'm not sure we're going to see a lot of guys going too low at Milwaukee Country Club, but if birdies start falling, you know, you've got to have the optics of a scorecard that has a lot of circles on it.
Well, you know, par being 70 at Milwaukee Country Club, so 280 would be even par for 72 holes. And last time it was played there, Bob Gregorski shot 290. I don't remember what par was, if it was 71 or 72. I don't think it was 70 back then, because a couple of the par fives have been converted to long par fours now. But if you're talking about a winning score, you know, I would think something right around 280 would be in the ballpark for sure, right around even par. It's going to be, you know, some guys might shoot 67 or 68 in a round, but are they going to be able to do it for two or three rounds? That's the question. I would look for something around even par being the winning score.
Another section of eligible players, the top 25 eligible from last year's Player of the Year standing. Gary, this is where I think we might find some guys that have the combination of experience and success in the last 12 months or so, that you might find a lot of guys that, you know, wind up being ones that you're writing about. You mentioned Jack Schultz of Whitefish Bay, former, you know, Player of the Year several times over, including, you know, the last couple of years. Kevin Cahill out of Waukesha, a veteran who's had, you know, played some of his best golf as a mid-amateur. Michael Bilowski is one that I think, you know, if he's able to kind of, you know, harness his power within, you know, what the course gives him, you know, I think that's a guy that can get the putter going and might be able to contend. And then a couple of guys, Joe Weber's had a great start to this year already.
Oh, yeah.
With the way he's played at the match play, and for sure at the Fisher that he won. And then Kevin Van Rossum of Heartland is another one that, you know, and Owen Butler of Stoughton are two guys that, you know, again, just have a presence about them. You know, they're kind of in that position that maybe an Archie Gadian would have been back when Bob Gregorski was on the range in 95. And, you know, Bob was still, you know, in the process of becoming, you know, a Hall of Famer and the like. But, you know, you look up and down the range, not only do you see all these swings, but you see all these legends, Mark Womowski and, you know, Gary Menzel and all these superstars, John Palin. And we don't see quite that the length of that shadow, but you get paired with a Joe Weber or an Owen Butler or a Kevin Van Rossum, a Kevin Cahill, Michael Bilowski. These are guys who have done this now enough of, you know, to – always be respected especially when you come to a course like Milwaukee Country Club that requires you to do more than just grip it and rip it off the tee box.
Well, you mentioned a couple of the mid-ams that if I was going to, you know, if we were going to talk about mid-ams who had a chance to win the state amateur, you named a couple of them. I think Joe Weber certainly is, his confidence has to be sky high after reaching the finals of the match play and losing to an outstanding golfer from Illinois. And we'll talk about Illinois in a second, Chad Slutsky. But and then won the Fisher at 19 with a 19 under total, and Joe's steady as they come. He's a good driver of the ball. He hits it long enough to compete with the kids and straight, and he thinks his way around the golf course very well. So his confidence has to be really high. And Kevin Van Rossum obviously has done some really nice things in the state over the last few years. Kevin Cahill, he might have to hit driver on it. 268-yard par 3, Rob. And he won't be alone.
That's right. He sure won't. He sure won't. Gary, in my research for the field story that we posted today, John Eichert out of West Bend, Mike Murphy, who I referenced earlier, 64 years old, who, by the way, has a tee time back in Madison on Wednesday. He does not expect to be around for the final two rounds. So we might cross Murph off the list, but a guy who jumps out also is Tom Holla, the yeah. Lanning Cannon. He finished T9 here in 95 and finished, you know, top 15 at the Ray Fisher last month. Tom Holla still has some game, Gary, and he's no stranger to Milwaukee Country Club. That's a guy that could surprise.
Oh, absolutely. You know, Tom was joking around with me after the Fisher, and he said he was proud to finish as low old guy in the Fisher this year. He's not that old. I mean, he's 52. But he's in really good shape, and he still hits the ball. He pounds the ball. He hits it pound for pound. He's one of the longer hitters around. Obviously, has a lot of games still, Rob. And, yeah, you know, he could sneak up there. I wouldn't be a bit surprised to see a top 15 finish out of Tom.
And then it comes to the part that we've talked about before on the podcast.
Yeah.
The Illinois invasion. And
right.
Again, credit to the Wisconsin State Golf Association. As I was researching a couple of these guys, I found one or two that all you got to do is go on the official world amateur rankings, and they've got their every move they've made in the last 2 years. And there's a couple guys who went and played in other state amateurs already, and they are not on the tee sheet now for tomorrow. So I didn't mean to out them, but again, for those that have just kind of parachuted in this controversy, it's okay for out-of-state players to play in the Wisconsin State Amateur, Gary, but you don't go back and play in your state amateur. And that's not a problem for most people in Illinois, because there are no Chicago District Golf Association or Illinois state amateurs to play in this year because of COVID-19. But yet others are still trying to go and play. They might be transplants from other parts of the country or found a way to play in other states' major competitions. It's weird. I mean, we've got a lot of Illinois guys. We've got a lot of Northern Illinois University was one that just perpetually came up in a number of different qualifiers with some of their current and former players that got in. You know, again, we've talked about it. You and I are mixed on it. I guess it's okay for this year. It's not something I want to see go on. And I think the whole thing will be tweaked. But as we are on the eve of the tournament, what impact do you think the state of Illinois is going to have on the 2020 Wisconsin State Amateur?
Rob, I think it could potentially be a huge impact. There's, I guess now that we're down to about maybe 19 or 20 guys from Illinois, so it's one-eighth of the field. Not a big contingent, but every one of those guys who qualified has a lot of game. If you look at the qualifier at Racine Meadowbrook, 8 of the 12 qualifiers were from Illinois. A lot of those guys have pretty good resumes. And, you know, I guess, as Bill Linneman said, you can't openly – Bill can't openly root for a Wisconsin player to win, but I think deep down the WSJ would love to see a Wisconsin guy win this. And I guess so would I, if I'm going to be honest. It's our state amateur. But, Rob, it could happen where we have an Illinois champion and 5 of the top 10 finishers are from Illinois. That's entirely possible.
I'll throw a couple names out. You're probably going to get to know these guys much better than I will over the next 4 days. Jimmy Morton, a kid out of the very fertile golf, competitive golf area of Sugar Grove, Illinois. That's where the Cools came from. I think it's where kind of in the same neighborhood as Jordan Hahn and his sister. And, of course, a lot of good golf courses up there in the northern suburbs. And he finished T9 at the Illinois State Amateur last year. It was held at Cantigny Golf Course in Wheaton. And Jimmy Morton just wrapped up a great sophomore season at Illinois Wesleyan. Again, you know, you and I sit there and say the words Illinois Wesleyan, University of St. Thomas. There's a couple guys in here from UW-Eau Claire. It doesn't resonate with golf fans because it's Division III golf, but those are top 15 programs in the country, and those kids can play. And especially in men's golf, the talent pool with all those groove swings that Gary was talking about is so deep that any one of these guys could get on a roll and really dominate this thing. So I'll give you Jimmy Morton, and then a guy that just kind of is buried in out of that qualifying list from Meadowbrook and Racine, a kid named Jordan Less. He and a teammate, Michael Mattis, just wrapped up what's supposed to be their final year at Northern Illinois. I don't know whether they're going to take COVID eligibility or not, but Jordan Less finished T2 at the Illinois State Amateur last year. They played 54 holes. I think it might have been rain shortened, 73, 67, 70. And again, there's a lot of guys coming up from Illinois, Gary, that have shown an ability to shoot to break 70 on good golf courses. Another guy, and here's probably the ultimate irony in this whole thing, Gary. A guy named Jackson Bussell, who's a college teammate of Blake Wisdom out of Lake Geneva out at Bucknell University. And I read something this week that we retweeted that Bucknell's not playing this fall because their league, the Patriot League, has already called it off until the 2021 calendar year. So Jackson Bussell in the state amateur, but Blake Wisdom missed by a couple shots at one of the qualifiers, so he's not in. It just, you know, again, and Blake Wisdom, he played in the Monday qualifier this past week at the 3M Open up in Minneapolis. And, you know, again, you still got to play well to get into these things. And if you're not exempt, you know, you probably had opportunities to do so on the way. But again, it just weird. But, you know, Jordan Less, Jackson Bussell, Michael Mattis, and then Jimmy Morton, you know, just four of the names that could be there in your stories throughout the week. And have you ever covered a tournament, Gary, where you had to do as much research and as much and you're going to have to ask questions that maybe you never asked before, right? I mean, this is going to be a weird one to cover.
It is. And one of the names you didn't mention, John Criscio, is in the field, correct?
Yes.
He tied for second at the Fisher. He doesn't even play college golf. And someone told me his handicap is a plus 4.9. And he does not even play college golf. He could. He could be playing somewhere.
Right, right.
But this is a young man who obviously has a ton of game at a plus 4.9 handicap. There's guys that – and there's going to be, you know, 20 guys in this field that I don't know at all. So other than your research, Rob, which is on wisconsin.gov right now, I've got a lot to learn about some of these guys who I could be writing about all week.
Well, it's a good point about Criscio, because he got a big award before he was, heading off to college. He's been recruited by, you know, Indiana, Kentucky, Marquette, you know, some pretty big names, and just decided he didn't want to play college golf. And you know, we've got guys that are like that too. So, it is really fascinating to see, you know, who's in this thing, and it'll be even more fascinating to figure out what's coming up. Gary, before we talk about more about Milwaukee Country Club, I have to remind our listeners that Talking.Golf is sponsored by the Club at Lac La Belle. It recently celebrated the grand opening of its all-new golf course, the rebirth of this historic course, now available for members and non-members, of course, in the beautiful rolling hills of Oconomowoc, halfway between Milwaukee and Madison. You can book your tee time today at theclubatlaclabelle.com. You've written some great stuff this week, Gary, about the course and the way it's going to play. And let's talk first about the golf course and the Bill Linneman setup. You know, for years and years, it was Gene Haas, and then the baton was handed to Tom Schmidt and the staff. Bill Linneman has always been there. He's been kind of that guy behind the scenes. He's got Jeff Perkle now at his side helping set these courses up. What can we expect from the setup, and what kind of impact will it have on who wins the 119th, I guess it is, Wisconsin State Amateur?
I can't wait to see the way Billy sets it up. I know for the first two rounds, it's going to be probably, I don't want to use the word vanilla, but I think, you know, with 156 players, 10-minute tee times, and pace of play issues that always can crop up in the first couple of rounds, I think that the setup will be, we'll see more forward tees maybe, and more flag sticks maybe, and spots on greens that aren't quite so difficult. But boy, when we get to that third round, Rob, it's going to be a lot of fun. Bill has really tweaked the course, or tweaked the setup, so that we have a 268-yard par 3, number 17, and a 270-yard drivable par 4, number 9. So there's a 2-yard difference and between the two holes, and a 1-stroke in the par value. But like Bill said, par is, it's just a word. I mean, it just depends how the hole plays. The 268-yard par 3 was when the course was built, the back tee was 232. And you got to remember, back then in the 20s and teens, guys were hitting their 3-woods, you know, 225, 230. So they, the architects wanted good players to hit a 3-wood into that green. And so all Bill's done is moved it back 30 yards. So good players today still have to hit 5-woods and 3-woods. But I just think it's going to be really interesting with a couple of really long par 4s, a drivable par 4, and a par 3 that is going to, you know, there's going to be some guys in the field who have to hit driver on that hole. And like Bill said, not a single player in the field probably will hit iron. Maybe Jacob Schrockenthaler, right? He's in the field, I believe.
That's right.
He's as long as anybody I've ever seen. He might hit an iron or like a 2-iron, but everyone else will hit 3-wood and 5-wood there.
Yeah, Schreck, he plays a different game than the rest of us. But but there are some kids who think that it's, you know, it's all about the big stick. So we'll see how many are able to dial it back. There's others like him. And, again, a lot of it has to do with using common sense. But is that right? The longest par 3 in State Am history. That's amazing.
Yeah, 268. Yeah, that's a drive and a half wedge for me, Rob. or maybe a faux wedge if I don't catch my drive.
Well, what was it? Where somebody was laying up on par threes at a tournament this last week, and it's crazy. But again, and then as the week unfolds, we've got the first round tees off numbers 1 and 10 beginning at 7:30 a.m. tomorrow. And then again on Tuesday, the field that played in the afternoon on Monday will play in the morning on Tuesday. And then the third round tees off at 7:30, only off number one on Wednesday, and off of number one starting at 7:30 on Thursday. The leaders go off right around 12:30 p.m. on Thursday. And hopefully by the dinner hour on Thursday, Gary, we'll have a champion crowned. And again, it's one of the most exciting weeks, if not the most exciting weeks of our summer, between this and the State Open, which will be next month at Blue Mountain Country Club. And again, when we were writing stories last winter, the State Amateur at Milwaukee Country Club, the State Open at Blue Mountain, and then a Ryder Cup. We still have two of the three. They just look a little bit different. And again, no spectators allowed unless you're coming in with a player. Is that correct, Gary?
Oh, that's a good point, Rob. We should definitely talk about that. Yeah. No spectators allowed unless you arrive in the same car with a contestant who has his player credentials. So in other words, you know, a caddy riding with a player, mom and dad, or brother or sister, or a couple of best buddies, that's all going to be okay. But there's going to be a guard at the front gate who will turn away, unfortunately, just the general public who would like to go in and walk the fairways at Milwaukee Country Club. Hopefully it won't take 25 years for MCC to get another one of these, Rob, because yeah. It's just a wonderful place to spectate golf. And so it's going to be a very small gallery, but everyone in the gallery will definitely have a rooting interest. That's for sure.
Absolutely. And as we put a bow on our discussion about the State Amateur, Gary, the future, never too early to look ahead. I always like it when Amy Linneman sends out the fact sheet for the State Amateur, because it's got the list of future State Amateur sites. Next year, 2021, at Westmore Country Club in Brookfield. They've held a number of state AMs and state opens. And then Sand Valley up in the town of Rome in central Wisconsin will host a state amateur in 2022. Erin Hills in 2023. And, of course, you played today, Gary, the legend at Merrill Hills in Waukesha. Yeah. 2024, what do you think? What's the state of your game? Can you make it into the field by 2024?
I have not a prayer. I'd be lucky to make it in the senior championship these days, Rob. But yeah, Merrill, really, Jack Gaudian's done a great job taking out a lot of trees there and sort of open it up. And it's a very pretty park and course. What a great lineup of courses for the State Am. Yeah. They go to some really good special places. I can't wait to see Sand Valley in a couple of years, what they do at that place.
Yeah, I agree. I think it showcases and celebrates the great new courses. And of course, in that one of these years coming up, I'd have to go to the WPGA site, but Century World, which was kind of the pioneer of destination golf in Wisconsin, has a state open coming up in a couple of years. And again, depending on how, you know, after we get through this kind of return to the, you know, the 156 player field for the state open next year, it's back at Black Wolf Run. And I believe the Irish course up at Whistling Straits. So an expanded field again, like we had last year. And we'll see if they continue to do that. They might pair Century World with Stevens Point Country Club, which two great courses up there. So amateur golfers and the like have a lot of great opportunity here in the next 4 or 5 years to play some fantastic golf courses. But, honestly, Gary, it's what Wisconsin golf has become. And it's a credit to all the great players, all the great people who have gotten involved in the game, the Kohlers all the folks made Erin Hills what it is. And now with the Kaiser family up at Sand Valley, you know, really a testimony to the opportunity that's in front of people, and credit to Rob Jansen, Bill Linneman, and the crew at the WSGA for being able to secure some pretty good sites for the next 4 years. As excited as we are about tomorrow, Gary, we have a lot of reason to look forward to the next few years, and especially the way amateur golf is in Wisconsin.
Yeah, WSGA does a great job. The Wisconsin PGA section does a great job. We're very fortunate, Rob, to have two associations in our state that do a wonderful job running tournaments. As you know, some of these Illinois players we mentioned earlier, I talked to a couple of them at the match play, and to a person, they all said the WSGA does a wonderful job running tournaments. A couple of them said, "We wish the CDGA would be as good as you guys." and not only running the tournaments, but taking tournaments to great courses that we just talked about. So, yeah, we have we're very lucky to have great courses, really fine golfers, and state golf associations that that do it the right way.
So it's tomorrow, 7:30 a.m. is the start time on that. And let me see here. The first tee ball off the first tee will be struck by Joe Mazurek out of Germantown. He plays in a group with Badger golfer Jack Blair and UW Parkside golfer Danny Sinicki out of Menominee Falls. David Brock will do the honors off the 10 tee. He's a mid-am out of Mequon. And then he plays with Nicholas Malahi out of Wauwatosa. And one of the Illinois golfers, Riley Bauman, a former Carthage College golfer, and one of many brother combinations in the field. It was kind of neat. One of the qualifying sites saw some kids that helped put Cedarburg back on the map in boys golf, Gary. Some twin brothers, the Hughes brothers out of Cedarburg, and then another guy named P.J. Clemens. They helped Cedarburg win a state title several years ago. They all qualified out of the same qualifying site. So while they may not be factors on top of the leaderboard, it's neat. They kind of get to take a stroll down memory lane back on the golf course. So you have a little bit of everything here in this 119th Wisconsin State Amateur. Before we wrap up the podcast, it's been a busy week here. And, of course, our podcast, Talking.Golf, sponsored by the Club at Lac La Belle. Talk about historic golf courses. The Club at Lac La Belle, not only historic, but they recently celebrated the grand opening of their all-new golf course. They took a classic and modernized it, and now it is available for members and non-members in the rolling hills of Oconomowoc. You can check out more at their website, clubatlaclabelle.com. But it's been a busy week on our website, Gary, even leading up to our coverage of the state amateur. Last week, you teased that there was big news coming from Kohler, and it proved to be one of the all-time most read stories on our website. So our listeners probably know, we know exactly what you're talking about. It's a massive Black Wolf run. 10 holes. And what I liked about it, Gary, is I was up there about a month ago for a junior event, and I could see it taking shape, but I had no idea what I was looking at. So when you posted the story with the kind of the layout, I totally understood what we were looking at then. The Baths of Black Wolf run 10 par 3 holes, a 2-acre putting course, and 4 swimming holes. Gary, what are 4 swimming holes? Does this mean I can finally go in the water and get my golf ball? But what's going on there?
I know that comes directly from the top. That is definitely Herb Kohler's junior stamp on this project. And very interesting, Rob, with four water holes that, depending where the tee markers are, what tees you play from on the short course, you can hit over the water, or you can play from tees in front of the water. But it's very flexible design. Chris Lutsky did it. The guy who Pete Dye's right-hand man for many, many years, and sort of did the tweaking to Whistling Straits leading up to what was going to be our Ryder Cup and still will be next year. But yeah, they can tweak this short course, Rob, so that if they have a corporate outing or an event and they get, 100 people or 75 people that want to use those swimming holes and kind of hang around and maybe use the putting course, families or whatever, they can close off part of the short course and maybe make it a 4 or 6 hole course. And they can do a lot of things with it. They can have multiple groups on the course doing different things at the same time. And it just, part of the evolution of golf at resorts right now, right, Rob? I mean, a lot of these resorts are putting in putting courses and short holes and par three courses. And I think the Kohler company has just taken it to a different level.
Well, and I could tell, again, most of it was very much in the formative stages of construction, but they had a large patch of the property already seeded with grass, and it looked like really good grass. And I was trying to figure out why there's all this. I mean, to me, from my upbringing, it looked a lot like a big putting green. And it turns out, after reading the story, it is going to be a really, really big putting green that wraps around some water. And then it's also, I didn't realize that I was looking on the left-hand side as I was looking back out at the entirety of the project, that the putting green shares a little bit of the complex with the 10th green, so the finishing green. And, again, it's sort of combined the look and feel of Whistling Straits, which I think, kind of brought a little bit in from the river course at Black Wolf Run and some of the Meadow Valley's course. But it's got that, that berm effect to it, because the berms protect that from the Meadow Valley's course, which you know, when they opened the Meadow Valleys course and then, you know, and then the Rivers course and some of these holes that, you know, these that you check in at the pro shop and you have to take a cart way out in the middle of the course. I thought, well, this is kind of a pain. Well, now that middle part of the course on the Meadow Valleys course has all of a sudden become an epicenter of the Black Wolf Run property. You've got the par three course. You've got a wonderful little halfway house out there that helps people as they're making the turn from 9 to 10 on the Meadow Valleys course. And then you've got people who are, you know, coming and going off the par three. It's going to be a hub of activity in a couple years.
It is. It is, Robin. And there are going to be non-golfers who take advantage of this. There are going to be families who maybe they're staying at the resort at the American Club or in at Woodlake and they're not golfers or they're only casual golfers. Well, they might want to go out to this place and have some food and some beverage and something to eat. They're going to have a stone terrace and stone and grass terrace and some fire pits. They might just want to sit around and bring their kids with a putter and a ball and just goof around on the putting course. So, and then on the other hand, this is going to be, depending on how they set the short course up, and they can, by the way, Rob, add two holes by using part of that humongous putting course. They can they can put two more holes on there, so they can make it a 12-hole course, and they could hold, you know, even a state par three championship on this thing. So it's going to be very, very versatile.
So that's the Bass of Black Wolf Run coming in 2021, and again, you can go to our website to learn more. A couple other things that happened in the last week since we last talked. Gary was out at Blackhawk Country Club, speaking of state amateurs, for the women's state amateur. And Tatum Beck out of Waterford survived at a very fun course to have a state amateur. Blackhawk Country Club really held up well for the women's tournament. And there was a lot of movement there. There were a lot of birdies to be made, but in that back stretch of the golf course, there was a lot of movement in both directions up there, 14, 15. And then, of course, you finished par three, sideways par four, and a par three. That had to be fun, that final round, and boy, what a neat win for Tatum Beck, her first big win as an amateur golfer.
Yeah, really happy for Tatum. She did a great job. She made a clutch birdie on the 16th hole, a par three, and then hung on and did what she needed to do to finish it off. You know, I played golf today with Maggie Leafrob, who really was one stroke off the lead with three to go and had a really good chance as a Wisconsin Golf Hall of Fame member. And a slightly older player than some of the young kids she was playing with. She was in it till the very end. So it was a good leaderboard. It was a lot of fun. And boy, that Blackhawk, I hadn't been there, Rob, since Tim Cantwell won the state amateur there years and years ago, the early 90s. And it's a fun, fun golf course.
It was a great match place course a couple years ago, when Michael Bilowski won. And I think it's a wonderful stroke play course. Because so much can happen. And again, much like we're talking about with Milwaukee Country Club here at the State Amateur, even for it doesn't matter what format, what age group, what gender, you really got to think twice about pulling a driver out of the bag at Blackhawk, especially down the stretch. And it makes for some fun golf. And last but not least, the Wisconsin high school girls golf season will start a week later than originally scheduled, thanks to action taken last week by the Board of Control. From the WIAA, they voted to approve an August 17th start for low-risk sports of girls golf, girls tennis, girls swimming, and boys and girls cross country. The other sports, including football, will start their practice on September 7th. It'll be a slightly condensed season for girls golf. No promise of a state tournament opportunity at this point. The focus in this COVID-19 environment is to get the season started and already, Gary, some fallout from that. Middleton High School plays in the Big 8 Conference. Even before the vote last week, the Big 8 voted that they were not going to offer fall sport opportunities either in the regular season or a conference tournament as it relates to girls' golf. And so another component of what was passed is that there will be the option for a second season to begin for fall sports schools that can't compete in the traditional season, and that would begin in March. As we know, it's not just athletics. The whole school year is very much in flux, and I know we're going to be writing a lot. I talked to Lee Ranke. We'll have something come out on their UW Green Bay's women's team being the number two ranked team academically in terms of team GPA coming out early this week. But he told me that the Horizon League has said no competition in the month of September. So if Green Bay is able to have any competition in the fall, it'll have to be in October, and it might be for a week or two, and then we're back to the bad weather, and then wait till spring. So it's just the tip of the iceberg. I guess on the one hand, Gary, it's nice that the high schools have made it possible for competition to begin in its traditional season. But I think, as always, we have to remain flexible, and we have to remain vigilant to what science is telling us.
Rob, is a state championship scheduled for the girls, or is it not even scheduled? Have they scheduled it and they just hope to play it, or what have they said about that?
Technically, it's been scheduled. It's still scheduled for, I believe it's the 14th and 15th of October, Monday, Tuesday, University Ridge. That part hasn't changed. And with a 1 week delay in the season, they could still logistically get to that point. What they're concerned about, Gary, is whether, and again, the reason the Big Eight Conference, did what they did was because Dane County is playing by different rules than the rest of the state right now when it comes to COVID restrictions. And so if those continue, they may not be able to bring 100 and some odd kids into University Ridge to play a state championship. So in that realm, they may be looking at either scrapping the whole idea of a state championship and then going with simply, section championships, and maybe one day people can play it off on a video game. But they just right now don't want to commit to bringing anybody into that realm. But again, we've seen with the WPGA, and in talking to Brian Babinski, the president of the Wisconsin Golf Coaches Association, or the Golf Coaches Association of Wisconsin, he said that he went down there because he has a son who plays junior golf, and it was a 2 day overnight with a couple hundred kids, and Andy Landenberger, the WPGA, did it the right way. It can be done. It's a matter of figuring out in this realm where you've got teams of golfers as opposed to individuals traveling with families. Maybe that's what you have to do. You have to be, these five kids that make up your team would have to go down with their parents, and then if there is an overnight component to whatever state championship is held, that they would stay with them, and that all the arrangements would be done, made that way. It kind of goes against the rules in place, and there's liability issues and that sort of thing. So I think for at the very least, you'd have to have a lot of waivers signed. But right now, the focus is simply on getting the season started. And if that can go off without a hitch for maybe 3, 4, 5 weeks, then maybe the dialogue will begin on how the season ends. So, again, like so many things in this current state that we live, stay tuned. More answers to come.
Yeah, let's just cross our fingers and hope the young ladies can play a full high school season. I sure hope we get to a state championship. I would hate to see a golf start in high school and be called off after a couple of weeks. So cross my fingers, Rob, that we get to a state championship this fall.
Well, and that's the neat thing about what the Board of Control did as well, Gary, is that if they get started and things go, haywire in terms of numbers and in terms of, if the kids aren't in a good position to be safe, and they will end it as quickly as they started. And then that provision exists then for those schools, even if they did start for a few weeks, then to go play in the spring if conditions warrant. So again, there's a lot of moving parts here, but at least the WI Board of Control gave their schools the opportunity and the flexibility they need to make good decisions without legislating them into any kind of a corner. I think there's a lot of doors that remain ajar for people to go into, depending on how COVID reacts here in the coming weeks and months. But Gary, I guess the good news is that for now we're still playing golf, and the Wisconsin State Amateur is a go. I think if events like the State Am with 156 golfers playing 4 days can go off, I think the future is bright for the game of golf in a competitive sense to do a lot of the things and provide opportunities that really aren't there for other sports. And, so far, knock on wood, the people who have been providing have done a really good job of looking out for the safety and the interests of those golfers. So I wish you the best at Milwaukee Country Club. Enjoy the walk here the next 4 days, and we'll do what we can to check in with video and certainly with social media. And of course, you can check out all the coverage here on Wisconsin.golf. Gary, enjoy the time at Milwaukee CC.
Thanks, Rob. I will. I'll be thinking about you. I know you'll be checking those scores every 5 minutes.
That's right. That's right. For Gary D'Amato, Rob Hernandez, this has been Talking.golf. sponsored by the Club at Lac La Belle, which was recently restored and celebrated the grand opening of its all-new golf course. The rebirth of this historic course is now available for both members and non-members, located conveniently between Milwaukee and Madison in the beautiful rolling hills of Oconomowoc. See what all the talk is about with the remake of one of the oldest courses in the state, and test your game with native fescue grasses, undulating greens, and Scottish roots. Book your tee time today at clubatlaclabelle.com. We'll be talking .golf again next week.